Picture this. Small children are running around. First, they're playing hide and seek in a large field with tall, wavy grass. Then they decide they're going to go on to the next thing. So they go back to that big old tree stump that they pretend is a stove, and they gather together because they're making breakfast for each other. The children are in Plum Village in France with Buddhist monk and teacher Thich Nhat Hanh. And after playing for a while, one child asks Uncle Monk, as they call Thich Nhat Hanh, "Can we have some juice now, please?" Uncle Monk agrees, and he pours freshly made apple juice. And Uncle Monk reminds the girl who resides in the village, guests go first. Now, she follows directions and serves the other children. She herself receives the last cup of homemade juice, which has floating pulp. She doesn't like that. She does not complain per se, but her body language demonstrates that she is mildly upset with Uncle Monk. She doesn't take a drink. Children go on to the next activity. But a bit later, she comes back to her glass of juice, which is now settled and cleared. She drinks and feels refreshed. And later, she asks Uncle Monk, "Aren't our lives a lot like a cup of juice? If we live the right way, we can settle down and do things well." Today, we focus on how two values in our mission statement, compassion and service, are inextricably linked when we're doing them to the best of our ability. Compassionate service is highly valuable even when we don't feel like being kind. Just like the wisdom of the small girl in the Buddhist community, we know that sometimes we have to walk away for a few minutes, let our own anxiety or frustration settle down, and then come back to the task. Right now, our church has a lot of activity and a lot of change. Last year, for the first time in 149 years, I believe, we started having two worship services on Sunday mornings and two programs for spiritual development for children. And this year, the two worship services are distinct. We're trying to do 9:15 more meditatively and 11:15 with more celebration. We just installed a brand new video screen, which is above the chancel, a new projector in the back. We used it for the first time last night in Diwali, and we will start using it on Sunday mornings 2 weeks from today on the 16th. It'll allow us additional experiential styles of quality worship. I believe this is the biggest change in the sanctuary space, perhaps in 60 years, since they installed the Rieger organ from Austria up in the back there in the loft. That one freaked people out. So if we feel some things when this happens, that's to be expected. It's okay. We have a new model of governance and ministry, which allows for clearer, more effective divisions of labor. Did you hear me say we're in the midst of lots of change? We are human beings in the midst of significant change. So I would like to invite us to do a little om. Let's do an om for the change. Mr. President, is this a good idea? Yeah. Okay. This is an om for the change. Om. Sometimes I feel like right now we're on a ship and we're tacking out past the protection provided by the bay. The winds are picking up a bit and waves are hitting with a bit more intensity. Times are bouncing, things are bouncing around a little bit on the ship, the USG. And I believe very much that on our journey, we're going to visit lands that are exciting. We're going to climb mountains and enjoy pinnacle experiences. And we know from the living of our lives that when we do that compassionately with each other, even when things are bouncing around and tough, maybe a little motion sickness, we'll do better when we treat ourselves and each other with compassion. Tom Rath and Jim Harder are co-authors of a wonderful book on the essential elements of well-being. It includes happiness, body, mind, and spirit, health, satisfaction. Rath and Harder say that they believe at the highest end of the community wellness continuum is giving back to society. In their studies, they see that giving back often differentiates an exceptional life from a good life. When they ask people with thriving well-being about the greatest accomplishment in their lives, almost without exception, folks talked about the impact they had on another person, community, or group. Being of service provides pinnacle experiences of satisfaction and thriving. Neuroscientists discovered that regions of the brain which are activated when people receive money light up even more when they give money. And there is no doubt that serving others positively impacts our bodies, minds, and spirits. You feel it. You know that brain is going with good chemicals when you're helping somebody. Now, of course, there is nothing wrong with being of service to others on your own. That can be absolutely great. And in this community, where love is the spirit and service is our law, here as a beloved community, we are committed to compassionately serving each other and the wider world. We believe there is a power and added richness with that united effort. Mohandas Gandhi knew about compassionate service as a gateway to the pinnacles of spirituality and well-being. He saw compassionate service as a way to achieve union with God. He said if he wanted to connect with God, he would go and serve others. Early in his career, he was a civil rights lawyer in South Africa. And at that time, he realized he wanted to have more hands-on experience in helping. Just being a lawyer was not enough. One day, a leper came to his door, an untouchable. Gandhi reflected that he did not have the heart to just give the man a meal and set him off on his way. So Gandhi offered shelter, dressed the man's wounds, began to look after him. Gandhi said he felt terrible. He could not offer the man permanent residence in his shelter. He said he really wanted to say, you can make this your home too, but he didn't have it in him. He couldn't do it for whatever reason. But Gandhi did find a public hospital that specialized in medical care for indentured servants and untouchables. He personally brought the man there so that he could receive care. And Gandhi reflected that doing this kind of compassionate service brought himself, the server, experiences of deep peace. At one point, when he was extremely busy, he volunteered 2 hours a day at that hospital. And that had additional travel time to and from on a public bus. He kept this kind of commitment even as an international leader with lots of pressure. Last night we were watching videos of Gandhi walking, and just dozens and hundreds of people wanted to see him and touch him, and he would greet them. And he knew that there were probably people out there who wanted to hurt him, as they did, with knife and gun. But he always went to helping. Compassionately. Hearing stories about Gandhi is a part of our faith tradition, and they can be tremendously inspirational. But for me, maybe for you too, they can be overwhelming. I can't take 2 hours a day to go to a hospital or a jail or a homeless shelter, even though I would really like to do that. But I just don't have the bandwidth or the resources. And I know myself enough to know it. It's good to remember that our faith professes that each of us are called to be aware in the present moment and to serve in ways in which we can. Do what you can in the context of your life. You don't have to be Mohandas or Martin or Teresa helping thousands of people at a time in the toughest of circumstances. Our universal faith professes that we can all reach the pinnacle together, including in our daily lives. Being compassionate in service starts with the basic building blocks, such as when you are washing the dishes, wash the dishes, including with your heart. Buddhist teacher Sunyana Greif describes this way of being as involving acts of humble and kind service. They're expressed through the deeds of one's daily life, such as taking out the garbage, cooking a meal, cleaning the toilet, raking the leaves. These are all occasions for cultivation of the spirit. When we engage in service without being compassionate to ourselves or to each other, we risk becoming lost in laments of what should have been in the past or fears of what might be in the future. Helping others out of resentment, spite, or pity endangers the whole community. We send out ripples, even when we're not aware. Once in a while, we're a human community. And here at USG, once in a while, people have sent out emails with unkind or hurtful words. Once in a while, we have done or said things with too much emphasis on lifting ourselves up in ways that put each other down. It's 150 years, so you know it's bound to happen. We are humans. We're imperfect. We are called to say, ouch, I'm sorry, I forgive you, are we good? Let's move on. Let's go back to trying. Only when we bring compassion to our service and empowerment will we have the kind of positive long-term impact that we crave in our souls. My faith says we all crave to have that in our souls, and we're all imperfect. And it's not easy. Nobody says it's easy. I really believe if it was easy, a lot more people in the world would be doing it, because a lot of people long for that. But it's so valuable when it happens. It has so much impact when it happens. I just heard a story of undocumented Latino immigrants living in New Jersey and New York, stories of post-Sandy, living in communities where they've been ostracized and suffered racism. Sandy hit, and the people in their community were suffering, even some of the people that had put them down. And they said, well, this is still my community, and I want to help. So they helped get the neighborhoods and the houses back to safety and comfort. And we know through our own living that that kind of compassionate service is contagious. It goes back and forth and lifts everybody up. We are going to the pinnacle together. I believe it with all my heart. I see it happening all the time in Diwali celebration of light over darkness, in rebuilding Philly, helping people who need a helping hand to get their houses back to comfort and safety, in Lingelbach tutoring, helping kids who need some extra safe, loving adults in their lives, and spiritual development, growing in the art of happiness. I see it happening, and I know it's going to happen with more richness than ever. It's going to happen again and again and again. That's what I believe with all my heart. One way it's going to happen is by sharing glasses of juice with each other. So don't forget, once in a while, you may have to walk away, let the pulp settle, come back and drink it and feel the refreshment. That will be good for everybody. Blessings be. Amen.